Welcome to the Troy Thompson Leadership Podcast. This is your host, Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you tuned in today. Listen, it is my greatest passion to empower leaders to create a more hopeful culture and to lead with passion and relevancy for their generation. I trust that today's podcast will encourage you, will equip you, and will empower you as you go out and create a vibrant culture that perpetuates hope and growth wherever you are. Let's tune in.
So if you have your Bible, go with me to Ecclesiastes 10, verse 7. I don't think I gave it to the sound booth back there, but you can circle it, highlight it. Ecclesiastes 10, verse 7. It says this, "I've seen slaves on horses and princes walking on the ground like slaves." Let's pray, shall we? Father, thank you for your word that when it comes, it brings light, penetrates darkness, it resurrects, it gives healing, it soothes the soul, brings peace, brings strength. Thank you for your word today, in Jesus' name. Solomon said, I've seen servants on horses while princes walk on the ground like servants. There's this story of a farmer. He inherited this magnificent farm. And it was right around the gold rush. And when he inherited this farm, he heard about the gold rush out west. And so he decided that he was going to sell his farm to his neighbor, and he was going to head west and look for gold. So he sells his farm, and he sells it for just what he can get. You know, he sells it for way less than it's worth. And he heads west. And he goes out west, and he takes all of his money, and he invests in the equipment, and he's out there, and he's looking for gold, and he comes up empty. I mean, everywhere he goes, he's digging. He goes from one place to the next, one river to the next, one tributary to the next. He's just trying to find gold out there. And he eventually runs out of money. He runs out of resources. He runs out of connections. And he says, listen, I'm all done. I got to go home. You know, I'm bankrupt. And bankrupt, he works his way home. You know, he just kind of, you know, hitches a ride back home. Back to Kansas. And he gets home to Kansas, to his hometown. He goes, he gets a job just doing something menial, something way beneath him. He hears word of his neighbor who bought his farm. He said, "Did you hear about Jimmy who bought the farm from you?" He said, "No, what happened?" He said, "The darndest thing happened. When you left, Jimmy found gold in the river in the backyard of the farm you sold him. He struck it rich. He's got so much wealth, he doesn't know what to do with it." I want to tell you today that there's gold in your backyard. What if I were to tell you today that you've inherited a gold mine? You don't know what's there yet, and you're searching for it, you're looking for it, but it's there. But just like that farmer, we spend a lot of our energy running around searching for gold. We search for gold in others. We search for gold in places. We spend all we have looking for that thing that will satisfy us, make us significant. And many of us, we end up bankrupt. You might be sitting here today, bankrupt. And Solomon said, "I see slaves on horses and princes walking on the ground like slaves." When I read that, I thought to myself, man, ain't that the truth? Kings and queens walking around with nothing while slaves occupy
the gold that's in your backyard.
I made a statement a couple months ago that many of us in the kingdom need to double down on our DNA. We need to trust our DNA. So I brought something this morning with me to kind of illustrate that fact. I had it built. My daughter helped me build it. It's a DNA model. Deoxyribonucleic acid. Pastor, I watched a lot of Schoolhouse Rocky to get that right. So, my understanding of this is very rudimentary. But what God gives me with the little, I'm telling you, it bursts out of my spirit with great revelation. I had this teacher in college, this professor in college. She was a nun. She was the meanest professor I had ever had. She just seemed mad all the time. And I didn't know Jesus from Jimmy, you know, back then. And I was sitting in the classroom, and there was about 300 other students in there with me. And I wasn't much of an achiever, you know, academically. So I spent a lot of time in the field house playing basketball. So I'd slip in the back of the lecture. It was crazy. You had 3 hours of a lecture and then 3 hours of a lab. That's 6 hours for one class. That's a lot to ask of a young man. That's all I'm saying. And so I'd slip in the back of this class, and she was, chemistry. She was a chemistry professor, and so but everybody kept calling her sister. They'd say sister this and sister what, and after about a few weeks, I leaned to the guy next to me, and you know we were cut from the same cloth, and I said, hey bro, what? She must have a lot of family in this room. And he said, no, dummy, she's a nun. Oh, that's why they keep calling her sister. She was just angry, but anyhow. So that was my understanding. I didn't really get much out of chemistry, but Schoolhouse Rocky taught me a little bit. And the DNA that you and I possess, it's an interesting little thing that we're made of, this DNA. They call it the building blocks. I also watched Jurassic Park. You remember Jurassic Park? The building blocks of every human, you know, living thing, the DNA. They also say it contains the codes of our existence. They also say that it's the blueprint for life. So that inside of each of us, every cell, to its smallest component, there is this thing called DNA. And when we were born, we were given a certain set of DNA. We were given a certain set of code or blueprint. But Peter says something interesting. 1 Peter 1:23. Listen to what Peter says. He says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. So wait a minute, Peter. Let me get this straight. I was born with a certain code or blueprint. And then Peter says, you were then born again. And if you, and I, it stands to reason, if I was born with a certain code or blueprint, then I was born again with a certain code or blueprint, that the incorruptible code or blueprint should be the one that I allow to dictate my every move in my future, in my destiny, in my purpose. Because Peter said, you were born, but then you were born again. You see, at some point, if you're in here, maybe you're not, but just hold on. If you're in here, you were born because you're alive. And in when you were born, that seed was corrupted. Peter said that seed was corrupt, meaning it came with a certain code. It came with a certain blueprint for your life. So when you and I were born, we received a blueprint for our life. Every cell in your body was screaming at you to follow the blueprint that was corrupt. Every cell. That's why you did the stuff you did before you were born again. That's why you went to the places, listened to the things, watched those things, had those relationships, drank that, shot that. Because your genetic code was corrupt. But then you and I, something happened. Something happened. The living word that endures forever came into our hearts. And when that living word came into our hearts, it somehow, miraculously, supernaturally created a new genetic formation within us and made us, formed us again, now with a different genetic code or blueprint. The question is this: are you following the old man's blueprint, or are you following the new man's blueprint? Are you following the other man's blueprint, or are you following the new man's blueprint? There was this study. Can I get 9 people to come up here with me? 9 people. I want to show you something. 9 people, go up there, guys. I want you to face all one direction. All face one direction. Now, I just want to show you something. I need you to spread out. Just all in a bunch here. Just kind of spread out. Spread yourselves out. Kind of bunch up a little bit back that way, would you? Bunch up back that way a little bit. Bunch up back that way. Okay. Pastor, can you help me? Pastor, can you help me? You're going to stand right here. So, there was this study done. There was this study done. They suggested that yours and my thoughts, the subconscious ones, they operate at quantum speed. This is not theology. I'm not telling you theology, and I'm not sensationalizing the facts. I'm telling you that biologists and scientists and psychologists all agree that as a man thinks, so he becomes. They say that when you and I think a thought and allow that thought to become stored in the bank of our mind, that when you are not even thinking about that thought, that some subconscious thought is operating at quantum speed. Let me translate that for you. Quantum means it's a reference to another time and space. Once again, I'm not sensationalizing this. This is not theology. This is biology, psychology, and science. They say that when you and I allow a thought to come into our mind, when that thought comes in, it's stored in the bank of our mind.
And when we sleep, that thought is in another dimension working out what you thought. That means that when you and I don't take account for the thought that comes into our mind, that thought runs around in another time and place, working out a new reality for you tomorrow. Follow me. I'm going to get to this reference in a minute. 99% of all of our DNA is shared. Look to the person to the left and the right of you. To the 99% of your genetic code is the same. I pray a cold shiver just went down your spine. It's actually more than that. But for the sake of the analogy here, we're going to call it 99%. It's actually 99.9%. But for the sake of the analogy, we'll say 99%. So you mean to tell me that 99% of our DNA shared is creating the reality that we currently live in? The social constructs, the religious constructs, every belief, if we all share 99% of it, stands to reason that conformity and convenience has created pretty much the reality of our existence right now. Because we wake up tomorrow, follow me, don't lose me. We wake up tomorrow and we do it this way because it's always been done this way. We jump in the stream of conformity because 99% of us share all of that same DNA. And 99% of us just, we jump in the stream of conformity and we run along. But there's that 1% of us who will trust their DNA. There's 1%, they say, there's 1% of you and me that exists that makes you different from the person to the left or the right of you. There's 1% of it that makes you different. And that 1% is the thing that makes you significant. It makes you different from everybody else. So just think with me. 90% are coming this way. Slowly. If you will trust your 1% rather than the majority, you will become the significant. You'll become the original that God made you to be. But if you just go along with everyone else because that's the construct, because that's the reality you know. Why do you go to work? Because that's what we're supposed to do. Why do you do it that way? Because that's what we're supposed to be. That tells me that the nonconformist is the most original person that God has made. The one who questions everything and says, no, wait a minute, God. Does that resonate with the 1% of me? If I trust that 1%. So the 1% runs against the 90, walk into it, and sets itself apart from everybody else. It becomes the significant force in culture. It sets itself away. It becomes the original creation that God made it to be. But if every one of us just go along with the 99% of our DNA genetic code that's somebody else's or our old person's, then what becomes us is we just jump in the stream of conformity and we just go along with everything and things go as they have been. Revival eludes us, healing eludes us, you know, joy eludes us, peace eludes us, because we just say, well, if the doctor says do it, I must do it. I jump in the stream of conformity and I just go with it because every part of my old DNA tells me that's the way it's supposed to be. But God says, if you'll trust the 1%, If you'll trust the 1% of you that's screaming at you, every cell in your body is begging you to trust God. Just trust your father's DNA. Trust the genetic code. Trust the blueprint of God for your life that sets you apart from the person to the right or the left of you. Then we can begin to revolutionize this world, change our culture, declare healing in the valley, declare light in the dark place. We can begin, but we have to set ourselves apart from the stream of conformity and convenience. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Thank you, guys. So there's this genetic code that we all share. John 3:3 says this, "For you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable." What does it say? You've been born again. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed. I'm sorry, 1 Peter says, you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable. And John 3:3 says, Jesus answered and said to him, "Most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Wait a minute. Unless I allow my genetic code to be reformed in the likeness of my father now. You see, because I had parents. And the genetic code they passed to me, well, it was broken. It was broken. But then I was born again. And when I was born again, now I'm able. The only way, church, the only way you and I are ever going to embrace the life God has for us, the purpose, the plan that God has for us, is if we embrace our born-again DNA. If you don't start trusting your DNA, if you don't start believing your DNA, you will walk in the same stream of mediocrity and convenience and fear and conformity as everyone else. Back to the thoughts. Researchers believe that when you think as a person thinks, it actually changes their genetic code. Your thoughts have the capacity to change your reality. When you're sleeping, here, let me tell you how I know this works. Have you ever heard a song 2 days ago? And you wake up on the third day and you're singing the same song. Because in your subconscious, that song was logged. And while you were sleeping, the thoughts you had from that song were out in another time and place, working something. It was actually manufacturing a reality for you to walk in. You woke up on Wednesday singing the song from Sunday because you logged it. But listen to me. Watch what happens when we don't allow. So our thoughts then, what you're telling me then, researchers, is that my thoughts can change my DNA. And if my thoughts can change my DNA, then what Paul said in Romans really stands true. He said, renew your
mind
and be transformed. If you'll renew your mind, your DNA will be transformed and you'll walk in a new reality that you never knew existed. And then it said in another portion of scripture, if you take every thought to the obedience of Christ, you have to take every thought, put it in Christ and say, does that agree with the DNA of my heavenly Father? And if it does not agree with the genetic code, you can't allow it to enter your system because it'll get in there and it'll disrupt the sequence. It'll bring an abnormality to the sequence. And so you talk about something that's so important here. Is taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, because that thought is literally creating your existence right now. It literally is creating DNA inside of you that's urging you to push in a direction. Every cell in your body is obedient to the thoughts that you think. They took 100 people, took 100 men. They followed them through their life. And they said, define for me what success is. They all defined it. They caught up with them 75 years later. 70 years later, they caught up with them. Only 5 of the 100 were actually walking in the reality of what they defined as success. They researched it to find out what's the common denominator in the 5. What is it that's similar about the 5 that makes them, that sets them apart from the 95? And they found that it was the way they thought. It was all about the way they thought. And from every field of expertise, they agree that the way a person thinks determines the way the person lives and what the person becomes. If a person thinks sick, then a person becomes sick. It's proof. It's science proving theology. Because the scriptures declare plainly, Jesus said in Mark 11, 24, if you can only believe, if you can only get your mind to believe the reality of the truth and the superiority of your faith over facts, if you could only get your mind to wrap itself around the reality that you have peace that flows like a river, even in the midst of chaos. That you have healing even when the doctor says you don't, right, Jeff? You have healing even when they say your condition is incurable. They can't cure it. But somehow, if you can take your thoughts and declare the word like water over your thoughts and declare, and every time a thought comes in that's in opposition to the promise of God over your life, you take that thought and you make it, you say, well, does that, no, it must go now in Jesus' name. You cast it out and you replace it with a right thought. You declare, they said sickness, God says healing. And it doesn't matter how many times you have to do it, you just have to keep doing it. No healing, no healing, no healing, no healing, until one day you're in your kitchen and cleaning something up, and you stand up, and all of a sudden you say, I'm healed. Oh, I'm healed. I've actually created thoughts that created reality. It changed my DNA, and now I'm walking the reality of it. Because your thoughts are in another time and place working on your reality. Do you hear what I just said? Your thoughts, they say it's quantum. That means it's moving fast. It's moving in another time and place, and it's working out your good. That means every thought you take captive, every time you profess a scripture, every time you pray a prayer, every time you make a confession, your body is now that thought is out there, and heaven is working with that thought to bring it to fruition in your life, and it's creating DNA inside of you that's driving you to healing. It's driving you to restoration. It's driving you to prosperity. Prosperity is all you can see. Healing's all you can see. Wholeness is all you can see, because you've allowed those thoughts to take, you've taken them captive, and you said, Jesus, here's the thought. I put it in the bank vault of the Spirit, and I say, invest. I invest it now. And I say, go into the heavenlies and make currency for me. Go up there with the Father and the Son, and let the Holy Spirit work for me down here and work something out for me. I'm ready to walk in the reality. But if it works for your good, then it can also work for your bad. If every thought that comes through your mind is negative, cynical, pessimistic, disease-ridden, foul. They say that your genetic code is affected by diet and exercise. Diet and exercise, the doctors say, right? Actually reforms your genetic code. I'm not going to have time to get to most of this, but so diet. What are you eating? Amen. You should probably not eat cheeseburgers either, but but I'm talking about words. Well, what are you eating? Are you eating? Are you eating? Because if you're not eating this, then your genetic code is not operating in its redeemed state. You can neglect this and be born again, but still be sick. But this right here, diet and exercise, creates new genetic code. So when I start eating the Word of God, it starts working on the inside of me, creating a new code, a new sequence, a new blueprint for my life that agrees with my destiny and my purpose. And exercise. Exercise. A lot of us are malnourished in the spirit. We get anemic. We get anemic in faith. If it doesn't happen right away, we lack endurance of faith. If it doesn't manifest now, and this is where I see the failing of faith, that we've grown so, we've taken our culture and we've tried to mix it with our faith, and we're so used to instant gratification from culture that we now come into the house of God and we say, I prayed for the prayer, it didn't work. God must not be real. But God, where's Bernadette? Yeah, somebody go get Vernon and tell him come back. I forgot what I was saying. Instant. Endurance. Endurance. We have no endurance. So we have to then teach ourselves this, to remain in faith. Continue in faith even when the doctor says this. We have to continue in faith even when it doesn't look like God said it would. We have to keep pushing. We have to keep going. We can't grow weary. We grow weary in well doing. We got to keep pushing in faith. Didn't happen today. That doesn't affect my faith. I keep pushing because I've taught myself to push through the 60%. I break through the 40% into a new reality. We got to keep pushing in faith, because diet and exercise will create a new DNA. So here's the deal. Either you are trusting your new DNA, or you're trusting your old DNA, or you're trusting, and I'll close with this, somebody else's DNA. Now, it's very interesting. The 99%, because we share 99% of our DNA, it's real easy for us to assume that Pastor Jim, if I follow Pastor Jim's blueprints, then I can get to my destiny. But the 1% of me, let me read this for you. I'm closing. If you put all the DNA molecules in your body end to end, the DNA would reach from the earth to the sun and back over 6,000 times. That's 100 trillion times 6 feet divided by 92 million miles, in case you were wondering. So wait a minute. You mean to tell me 0.1% of my genetic code is so significant. It's so significant. If you were to unravel my DNA, it would go bang, 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 6,000 times if you unravel it. Do you understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of your Father? And the question that overwhelms me is, why do we keep doing the same thing? If we are made to be that original, how in the world could we conform to such mediocrity? I've seen, what is it? What did Solomon say? I've seen them riding horses while we walked on the ground. I saw the children of the Father acting like slaves, while slaves were acting like children of the Father. You see, the slaves understand that the 1% of them that sets them apart, that makes them so original. God made you so original that just 0.1% of you can stretch back and forth. Maybe this is why Isaiah said the angels went around the throne of God and they declared, holy, 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 holy. And they keep saying it for all of eternity. Because if 0.1% of you sets you apart to be that significant, you've got to ask yourself, why do I keep doing the same thing over and over and over again? Why am I here? The two most compelling forces that the earth will ever know is identity and purpose. Identity says, I know who I am. Purpose says, I know why I am. If you don't know your why, if you'll figure out your who, because your who connects you to your DNA. And your DNA will define your destiny. But if you never tap into the 1% of you made in the image and likeness of your Father, that is so original that it can unravel you 6,000 times to the moon and back. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. If you don't discover the 0.1% of you, you will conform and you will wake up tomorrow and you will set your clock. You will set your watch by another man's clock. The story says that Frank was a jewelry store owner. And every day George would walk by Frank's jewelry store at 7 a.m. down Broadway on his way into the mill. 7 a.m. George would walk down the road. He would stop there at Frank's jewelry shop. He would look up at the beautiful clock there and he would set his watch according to Frank's clock. And this went on for years. For years this went on. George would be walking to work in the morning. He would stop in Frank's shop. He would set his watch according to Frank's clock. And he would go on his way. And then at 6 o'clock in the evening, the whistle from the mill would blow. One day, George is walking down the road. Frank is out front, sweeping the front. He notices George setting his watch, and he says to George, George, every day you do this. Every day you stop at my storefront, and you set your watch. Why are you doing this? He said, well, I set my watch according to your clock. Frank looks at George and says, well, isn't that funny? Because I set that clock according to the whistle that blows at your mill at 6 o'clock every day. And the sad reality of that story is that there are so many of us who are setting our watch by somebody else's clock. We're trusting somebody else's blueprint to create a reality for us when they have no clue what God created for us when we were born again. Doesn't matter how noble they are. Doesn't matter how much they love you. Doesn't even matter if they're your mother or your father. They do not know the significance of your DNA like your Father in heaven does. Because if you're not careful, you'll trust their blueprints for your destiny. And the bias that they hold in their heart, the fear that they possess, the belief systems that they possess, it might conflict with yours, and you'll be trusting theirs, and you'll never build what God called you to build. You'll never become what God called you to become if you live your reality with the blueprints of your mom, your dad, them, those over there, whoever they are. You can't trust their blueprints to get you to your destiny. You have to trust. It says, before you were formed. I'll close now. That was like two things into the service, two things into the math. Before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. I knew you.
I set time by you. I knew your time. God said, I knew your time. I know your time. I know it. But you're setting your watch by their clocks. You're defining your success by them. If you'll start trusting your DNA, I'll take you to places you never could imagine. Come on, stand to your feet with me as we close today. Scientists have found that a total of 510 DNA codes have been lost throughout the process of human evolution. A total of 510. I need that one more time, Clarence. Sorry. Imagine with me. 510 blueprints stripped away from your life and mine. Have been lost. Imagine what destinies were marooned if 510 codes were ripped out of existence in your life. That tells me that there is a priority of creating an environment that fosters the 1%. That tells me that church matters. That tells me that every person to the right, the left, every person watching on TV, every person listening to my voice, watching the podcast, online right now, that tells me your connection to your family of faith, which awakens the reality of the 1% of you, is critical. And if you neglect it, if you don't take advantage of it, if you don't procreate with it, come on. If you don't combine your faith in the synergy of my faith and Pastor Jim's faith, then something gets ripped from the pages of our genetic code. We rob ourselves literally of our own destiny and our own dreams and what God's trying to build in our life by neglecting the gathering of the saints. The author of Hebrews says, do not forsake the gathering together. Something special happens here when you gather. You see, the 1% mentality is established. That you are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image of your Father. You are so original. There's none like you. But if that never happens, then church continues like always. Culture goes the way it goes because we just keep doing it the same way every day. We wake up, we do it again the same way. Unless we foster an environment where the 1% is cherished and invested. And today, we want to let you know, at Church on the North Coast, you belong. You belong. You belong in the family of the 1%. You don't belong in the 99. Just because it happens like that for them does not dictate that it should happen like that for you. Statistics can be what statistics can be for them, but my Bible declares that I've been born again of incorruptible seed.
That makes me different from everybody else. That sets me apart. That tells me that by His stripes, I am the healed of the Lord. That tells me that I can have peace in the midst of chaos. That tells me that my marriage is the 1%, the superb. It is the standard by which every other marriage should monitor itself. That tells me that every aspect of my life operates in the 1%, and I refuse to jump into the stream of conformity and fear and convenience simply because the old man's genetic DNA says I should. Every cell in your body is screaming at you to trust your Father's DNA. Amen. So today, as we close, here's what we want you to do. We want you to come up here at one of these tables, and we want you to join a life group. How many are in a life group? Raise your hand with me this morning. If you're in a, how many are not in a life group? Raise your hand. A lot of you are not raising your hand. You're in church and you're lying. It's very critical that you get plugged in and you foster. You foster the greatness of God inside of you. These life groups are going to help. They're going to procreate. They're going to encourage you. They're going to strengthen you. They're going to declare to you that you can and you will and you must. You are the leader that the world requires in this time. And so as we close, the life group leaders are going to be up here. Some of them will be up here. But even if they're not, what we want you to do is come up one by one. Take your time. Hang around today. Come up here. Sign up for a life group. A life group leader will contact you and plug you into their life group. What is a life group? A life group is a group of people that gather. Some of them, you know, some of them, they belong to Courage Company, and they gather on Saturdays. Some of them, they belong to, you know, a gym, and they gather and they work out together. Some of them go hiking. Some of them go camping. But their focus is to make sure that we are connected and that we foster the 1% mentality within each of us that's placed there by God. Amen. Amen. So as we close today, we want to pray together. Grab the hand of your neighbor as we conclude in prayer today. Father, we pray for the hand of the left and right of us today, and we declare that they are fearfully and wonderfully made in the image and likeness of their Father, that they are set apart, that they belong to you, that they are an original, that everything in their old man is counterfeit, that they never trust the genetic code or the DNA of someone else, but they always lean into you, that they rely upon you to dictate who they are and where they're going and what they belong. God, we declare that they belong to you. We strengthen these hands today. We declare that your Spirit leads and guides them everywhere they go. We declare, God, if there be a hand here today that's held that does not know you, if you do not know the Lord, just squeeze the hand of the person holding it. You say, I don't know God like I heard him today, but I want to. If that's you, squeeze the hand of the person that's holding it. And here's what we'll do. The Bible says if you call upon the Lord, he will rescue you. He will save you. So let's call upon him together, church. Lord, we call upon you today. There is none like you. We believe that you are the Son of God, that you died for our sins, the sin of the old man. And so now we call upon you, Jesus, and we say, save me, rescue me from the allurement of my old DNA. I awaken now to my Father's DNA. My Father's DNA is calling me. I answer the call today and I say, take my life now. Let this redeemed life that I have, make it new. Make it bring heaven to earth. God, I love you. I commit my life to you. And I take your righteousness as I surrender my sin to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a great big hand. Close today. We want to allow allow you to just take your time and mingle with one another, please make sure you come this way. Sign up for one of these life groups before you leave today. Amen. Live right. Love everybody. Pray hard. We'll see you next Sunday.
This is Troy Thompson. I'm so glad you took the time to listen into the podcast today. If you like what you heard, you can go to the website cnclove.org for more. You are a culture creator. Go out today and create culture. Make the world a better place, a more hopeful place. It was a pleasure being with you.